In this session, we shall look at how to calculate the capital gain on the sale of a lease. Before we do so, let us define some basic terms. A lease is essentially a right to use an asset. Where the asset in question is land or buildings, the lease is the right to occupy the land or buildings for a specified period of time, and usually in return for a specified rent. Many of you will be living in a house or flat under the terms of a lease. That is, you have the right to occupy that property for a certain period of time. You will also have heard of the term freehold. A freehold and a lease are two separate assets. If an individual owns a property as a freeholder, this means that the individual owns the property outright, i.e., he owns the entire building as well as the land on which that building is situated. A freeholder, therefore, has more than simply a right of occupation. A lease is therefore a piece of paper that gives the tenant, also called the lessee, a right to occupy somebody else's property. As this lease is a valuable asset, leases can be bought and sold. And in this session, we shall look at the CGT effects of a tenant selling a lease. The legal term for the sale of a lease is the assignment of a lease. The way we calculate the gain on the assignment of a lease depends on whether the taxpayer is selling a long lease or a short lease. A long lease is a lease which has more than 50 years to run at the date it is sold. This means that a short lease has 50 years or less to run when the taxpayer sells it. The way we calculate the capital gain on the sale of a long lease is by using normal CGT rules. We simply take the proceeds and deduct cost to leave a gain. The calculation of a gain on the assignment of a short lease is slightly more complex. We shall look at the special rules on the next couple of pages. Let us take a taxpayer who has a 40-year lease. He acquired the lease in March 1996. What this taxpayer has is the right to occupy the land or buildings for 40 years from March 1996. The taxpayer sells his lease in March 2011. What the taxpayer is doing here is selling a piece of paper, which thereafter gives the purchaser the right to occupy the property for the remaining duration of the lease. Between March 1996 and March 2011, 15 years have expired. This means that in March 2011, our taxpayer is selling a lease that has 25 years left to run. He's therefore selling a short lease, and the special rules will apply. An asset with a useful life of 50 years or less is called a wasting asset. A 25-year lease is therefore a wasting asset. Special rules therefore apply to calculate gains on wasting assets. Our starting point, as always, is proceeds of sale, from which we will deduct the base cost of the asset. However, where a wasting asset is being sold, the taxpayer cannot take a deduction for the whole of his acquisition cost. As wasting assets depreciate over time, the taxpayer can only deduct part of his original base cost. We will look at how we do this on the next page. The crux of this calculation, therefore, is how we arrive at the base cost. The way we calculate the allowable base cost is by using the lease depreciation tables. Our starting point is proceeds of sale, from which we deduct base cost to arrive at a gain. The CGT base cost is the original acquisition cost of the lease multiplied by a fraction. The fraction we use is S divided by P. S in the fraction is a percentage based on the years of the lease remaining as at the date of sale. P is a percentage based on the number of years of the lease remaining at the date of purchase. These percentages can be found at Schedule 8 of the Capital Gains Tax Act of 1992, and this table is reproduced in the notes for this lecture provided with this course. Having arrived at the allowable base cost, we can then calculate the gain. At this point, I will pause this session, as you will need your lease depreciation tables to follow the example on the next page. When you have your tables to hand, please press the continue button on the bottom of the screen. A taxpayer acquires a 40-year lease in March 1996. He pays £60,000 for the lease. In March 2011, the taxpayer sells the lease for £90,000. As 15 years have expired between March 1996 and March 2011, what the taxpayer is selling is a lease with 25 years left to run.
We start with sale proceeds of £90,000, from which we need to deduct the allowable base cost. As the taxpayer is selling a short lease, we need to multiply cost by the fraction S over P. S here is the number of years of the lease left at the date of sale, whilst P is the number of years of the lease at the date of purchase. Our S over P fraction is therefore 25 over 40.
The 40-year lease cost £60,000 in March 1996, so the allowable base cost is a fraction of this figure. However, we cannot simply multiply £60,000 by the fraction of 25 over 40. At this point, we must refer to the lease depreciation tables.
If you look at your lease depreciation tables, you will see that the relevant percentage for a 25-year lease is 81.100. The relevant percentage for a 40-year lease is 95.457. The allowable base cost for CGT purposes is therefore £60,000 multiplied by this fraction to give us £50,976.
The gain on the sale of the lease is therefore £39,024. The way we ascertain the allowable base cost on the assignment of a short lease is quite a tricky calculation, so you may like to go back and run page 5 again to make sure you're comfortable about where all the numbers are coming from. If you look at the lease percentages, either from the table in your notes or in Schedule 8 of TCGA 1992, you will see that the percentages are given for whole years only. We will now look at how we calculate the percentage if the lease is not an exact number of whole years. Essentially, this requires some sort of apportionment, which we do on a monthly basis. So, by way of an example, assume a taxpayer bought a 60-year lease on the 1st of December 1994. At this point, the taxpayer had a long lease. The taxpayer sold the lease on the 20th of March 2011. As any apportionments will be done on a monthly basis, we first need to decide whether or not to count the month of March 2011. Schedule 8 tells us that when 14 days or more have expired, we can assume the lease has been sold at the end of the month. For apportionment purposes, therefore, we can assume the lease was sold on the 31st of March 2011. The first thing to calculate is the number of years and months between the 1st of December 1994 and the 31st of March 2011. Here we can see that 16 years and 4 months of the original 60 years have expired. The number of years remaining, as at the 31st of March 2011, is therefore 60 years, less the amount expired, leaving 43 years and 8 months. As this is less than 50 years, you can see that the taxpayer is selling a short lease. A short lease is one with 50 years or less to run at the date of sale. This illustrates the point that a long lease will eventually become a short lease once less than 50 years are remaining. As the taxpayer is selling a short lease, we need to refer to the lease depreciation tables. The first thing we need to do is to work out our S and our P, i.e. the percentages for the number of years remaining at the date of sale and the date of purchase.
The lease had 60 years to run when it was originally acquired. If you look at your tables, you will see that the percentage for 50 years or more is exactly 100. The position is slightly more complicated for the number of years left at the date of sale. We need to work out a percentage for 43 years and 8 months. From the table, you will see that the percentage for 43 years is 97.107, and the percentage for 44 years is 97.595. Schedule 8 tells us that where the duration of the lease is not an exact number of years, the relevant percentage is found by taking an appropriate point between these two figures. As the number of years in this instance is 43 years and 8 months, we take 8 twelfths of the difference between these two figures and add it to the percentage for 43 years, giving us a percentage of 97.432. Having found our S and our P, we can now put these into the CGT computation.